Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord has good things in store for us. He has much to say. There's many things He'll help you see. If you desire to know Him, you can. You know, many people love to learn about God. But there's no substitute for getting to know God. Entering into His presence is a privilege like nothing else I ever experienced. I thank the Lord for it every time I can just commune with Him, spend time talking with Him. When I pray and when I just take time and unwind in the day and just and go before the Lord and pray and praise Him and worship Him, sometimes I just be quiet and listen. Whenever you pray, take time and just listen and just ask the Lord, Lord, is that something you want to say? You know, the world is so loud. Our desires are so loud. The things that are important to people are just loud. And people talk about what interests them the most. But some of the best times I've ever had was when I just listened to the Lord and let Him, and just to see what He'd say. And His wisdom is so wonderful. You know, He evaluates everything. Whatever he speaks, it's profound. It's a blessing. And it's yet so simple and easy to be received. I love the Lord our God. He had, you know, it sometimes His reply just makes me wonder. I enjoy it. You know, in the book of James, you know, I find the Lord to be very practical in His way. And in my relationship with the Lord, He's very practical in the way He do things and the way He relay His word to help me understand things. And you know, sometimes He tell me things I say, I wish everybody could know this. And so sometimes people will listen to certain parts of His wisdom more than others. But you see the need, you see the needs that people have, and you know if the Lord can answer me and give me the counsel I need at the time I need it, and it's just over the top, you know He can do it for other people. And that's the God I want people to know. Not the way that people, that religion, that cold religion has represented the Father to be. And the reason I say cold religion is because when people don't know God, they try to make excuses for their lack of knowledge of God, and they make up things. And it becomes cold religion, a trend, a dead trend that does people no good. And it's wrong information based on misinterpreted scripture and false information. But when you study what Jesus did, He was consistent in His love. He went about healing the sick, blessing people, showing people what's right, helping them come out of error, or helping them come out of deception. And helping people come out of the things that bother them, that makes their life low. You know, God didn't create Adam to make him low. You know, the Lord don't want men to be full of pride, because pride is rejection. Pride is antichrist. Pride is anti-God. That's man without God. That's man turning his back on what's right and diving into what's wrong, without looking at the consequence. And even when people turn their back on God, the Lord loves them. So He loves them anyway. Just like your children, when they turn their back on what you've taught them, or when they turn their back on you, or when they do things they shouldn't be doing, and you have to go and bail them out of jail, you love them, but you wish they'll turn their heart back to you. Well, God won't wish people to turn their heart back to Him. And you know that in jail, they're going to be, all kind of things might happen to them. And the Lord know that a life without him, all kind of things might will happen to you. And he know what will happen to you. Because the way his mind works, he know everything that's going to happen. But they can be prevented through choices. And the love of God is strong. Now, in James chapter 3, it says that the Lord gave us a lot of information in that book. It says, talking about the Lord, this is James chapter 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, easy to be understood, easy to be received, full of mercy and good fruits, and without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. See, when you believe in God for something, or you're asking him to help you with something, if you don't know him right, you'll think he don't want you to have it. And when things don't fall through in a timely manner, then the enemy will say, see, God don't want you to have it. He bless others, but he don't care nothing about blessing you. And that's not the way God is. But when you get to know him for yourself, then you know him for yourself. And you can know him by his word. And the very thing that you desire, he wants you to have it. Unless it's something that will kill you. You know, if a three-year-old wants a knife, he wants a combat knife for Christmas. Now, you know you're not going to buy him a real combat knife, not at 3 years old. He might run with it in his hand and fall down the steps and hurt himself. So it is with the things of God. Whatever you desire, the Lord will help you train so that when you get it, you won't hurt yourself. The Lord is practical in his ways. He's very loving. And I know him that way. A lot of people don't know him that way. So when a preacher like me say, turn to God, in their mind, they're saying, turn to the one that don't want you to have nothing. Because of misinterpretation. And that's why Satan is behind cold religion, a false interpretation of who God is. But the Lord is too good for you to not know. Sometimes people think they're rebelling against a God that is mean, but they don't know him in the first place. And they try to gratify themselves by the things of this world. And they run into an iron wall that way. They run into a brick wall in the world. And they think they're running from God, who is mean. And God is not mean. How can he be mean and he left heaven, became a man, lived with us, died for us, and then represent us to the Father? He knows what you go through. He knows how hard things can be. He knows all the bad advice you've gotten. But he has mercy on your soul. The rapture, and these are the topics that I'm dealing with now is end days. Now, some of these broadcasts, I'm going to deal with the things of Revelation. Revelation is a popular thing. A lot of people want to get out of here, and they want to know where we are in God's time frame. And even though I can teach those scriptures, that doesn't show you where you're going to be, how close the rapture is, so you can get out of here. So a lot of people want to get out of here, and a lot of people want to know what to do. A lot of people are afraid of it. People take Revelation different ways. But this, you're living in the time of grace that's at the end of the age of grace, and the age of the tribulation period is about to begin when God judges the earth for rejecting Jesus Christ. So the theme of what I'm talking about in this subject called end days is supposed to help you be aware of the time frame. And we're going to deal with end time things because these are the end days. But it's more important for you to know how to govern your life and how to be blessed by God to help others see him for who he is in the end days. And that's why we're doing it this way. Now, all these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. And remember, the website, on the website broadcast is 30 minutes, whereas only the first 15 minutes are played on the air. And everyone is unique. So you can listen to all these broadcasts on newlivingletters.com on the Audio 3 page. The Audio 3 page covers everything that's going on now from 2018. Now, but the theme is the Lord loves you. And I don't want God to be falsely misrepresented. I want people to know who they are. If they still want to be a sinner and reject God and play with the world, I want them to know what they are rejecting and where they're headed. And if they don't mind the bitterness of what's to come, then at least they'll have open eyes about it. But I don't want a person to think that God is roguish and they miss out on the love of God. And they miss out on the blessings of God and how God loves them. God wants you to have a relationship with Him. What you did in the past can be forgiven and forgotten in God's mind. God don't want to remember your sin. He wants to forgive you of your sins. In fact, He died to forgive you of your sins. And He wants you to start a new life now. That's the best thing that can happen to you. That's advice from the Word of God and advice from me. And I'm saying that because I know Him that way. I don't let people tell me who God is and I don't study Him for myself. I've gone in His presence. I have received messages from Him. I've received counsel from Him and wisdom, and it always works out. And I thank God for it. He will enhance your life and build it up, not tear it down. And many things, God have always given me more than I asked for. Over time, it will happen. And when things don't go right, I ask Him why. And then He showed me what corrections to make and what I need to change and how things have to happen. And then I have an understanding and I know Him. Now, the wisdom that's from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, Satan wants you to be ignorant of God. And that's where the false prophets come in. Now, before the scriptures that I just read to you in James chapter 3, it says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But watch verse 14. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. That's verse 16. So if you want to get rid of confusion, which comes from the worldly way, Satan's way, bad advice, and every evil work, get rid of envying and strife. And just take the Lord at His word. Study His word so that when He speaks to you, you can receive it. The written word helps you receive the spoken word. It's almost useless for God to speak a spoken word to us without us studying His written word. I'm not saying He can't, but it's almost useless because you won't know. You know Him by what He already said. And if you got to believe what He already said, and then you can believe what He's currently saying. Now, last time we left off in 2 Peter chapter 2. And we've been teaching about the misery of false prophets and what they come to do. Now, false prophets are different than true prophets. They come to kill, steal, and destroy just like Satan. And it's not good what they do. And they do it for, usually they get into greed and they start looking at the world and they start compromising. And it goes from there and sin hardens your heart. We explained that in the last broadcast. But sin causes people to go low, and they can do some terrible things and they have no regard for consequence. And the Lord knows these things. He knows what's out there. Now, I'm going to start at verse 9. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. The unjust are those that will not turn, and the Lord knows what to do in their life with them. Verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-will. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Now, some people who have turned, they are presumptuous. They still think they're in the kingdom of God. They've turned, they compromised the gospel. They say that Jesus didn't mean it that way. He meant it this. They twist his words. And that's an offense that will cause God to blot your name out of the book of life. And we're going to cover that later on in other broadcasts. Verse 11. All right. Presumptuous of they self-will, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. If you follow God, it's not good to be self-will, because you're judging things by what you've already learned, and deception is in our path. Confusion was in our path, and the voice of the world was loud. So we can't really trust our will until we line it up to the word of God. The only thing you can trust is the word of God in this life and in the next, in this life and in the next. And if you trust something beside God's word, you're treading on dangerous territory. You can't trust other people's deception, just like you can't trust your own. But the word of God will give you the clarity you need so that you can go forward. But false prophets are presumptuous, and they're self-will. And they're not afraid to speak against people that love God, people that are good, people that he has sanctioned, people that he has anointed. Verse 11, whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these are natural brute beasts, made to be taken, destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots are they, blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin. That's another trait of false prophets and error. Having eyes full of adultery. That's a challenge to most men anyway, but false prophets always give in to it. And then when they start sinning, they make excuses and they compromise. That's when they really go off the tracks. Having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin. A man with the power of God, with what Jesus has done for us, we can destroy all forms of adultery, fornication, homosexuality, witchcraft, and all forms of Satan's diseases out of our lives. We can destroy it. We don't have to be tempted with those things. We can purify our heart. We can stop being double-minded about it. We can put that in the world. That belongs in the world. That's what the world is. That's not of God. But when people say, oh, the Lord will forgive you, oh, just have a little fun, the Lord will forgive you, it's no big deal. False prophet. That's his label now. Don't call him Reverend no more. Don't call that man Reverend. That's false prophet. If his last name is Bilbo, don't call him Reverend Bilbo. That's false prophet Bilbo now. Because he went haywire. He went to the world. Now, you can't do that. When people start acting like a false prophet, stop calling them reverend. A reverend is somebody who reverends God, a preacher that reverends God. They love God and they do God's ways. They revere God. And people revere them because they revere God. When they stop revering God, I don't call them minister, preacher, reverend. Mister is fine. You can call him Mister. But don't call him Reverend no more. And, you know, let him be a sinner. If you can't get him to repent, just let him be a sinner. And stop calling him Reverend and preacher and minister. And apostle and prophet or whatever they label themselves. A real apostle will walk the steps of Jesus. They'll do what's right. A real preacher will help you pray out of those things and not condone it. A real preacher will tell the truth and not a lie. A real preacher will do what's right and not wrong. A real preacher will not rob folks. A real preacher will not steal from anybody. And a real preacher won't make merchandise of God's holy people. And they'll defend the sheep. They'll help the sheep. They'll help people grow. And did you know that preachers that are of that wonderful caliber, a lot of people will leave their churches and go to a loudmouth false prophet that'll tell them what they want to hear. And when they realize this a farce, they'll go back to the real preacher with a new appreciation. All the pastors that do right and help your children grow, they labor with your family. When y'all get sick, they pray till something happens. Don't forget them. If you have to work a second job to pay tithes, do it. Because they are worth it. The world ain't worthy of them. They might not have but 10 members. I've seen with my own eyes. People that go out of their way, Pastor Jackson used to do a car wash to help the children go to Disneyland. He used to do a car wash at AutoZone so the young children could go to Disneyland or Disney World. And then when people get sick, he pray. These are the kind of people that love God. This is what we need in this world. Not people that will lust after your daughters and wives and sisters and preach crazy things. Don't call them Reverend. The ones that's laboring in the love, doing the right thing, they are to be revered. They are preachers. They represent Jesus Christ. My dad, I used to say, "Dad, let's go fishing," and he'll say, "Son, I got to study." And on Saturday, I knew we couldn't go fishing on a Saturday because he had to study for his sermon. And I respected that. And I shared my daddy with God. I never got upset because my daddy had to do God's work. And my mother, she feared God too. And she shared my daddy with God. She didn't complain when he had to do God's work. These are the kind of people I was raised by. And God blessed them thoroughly in life. His retirement lasted almost as long as my whole career. Not as long, but almost as long. Because he served the Lord. And he did it every Sunday. My mother went to church until she could not drive herself to church. And my sister used to take her until her health declined. This is important. God loves his people. And there are preachers out there. There are families out there that love God, that do his word. And I love to see people who are dedicated to the things of God. I've seen churches where only a few people show up and they love God and have a good time. They're not fascinated by a crowd. And if a crowd comes, that's just even better. But there are churches out there, there are false prophets out there. And I don't really like talking about this stuff. I don't like preaching about false prophets. It's miserable. But I have to because God told me to. There are people out there that will rape you against the word of God. They will alter the word of God and use you for their advantage and make merchandise out of you so that they can pay for their sins. and they'll use the church as a front. Don't call them reverend no more. When the Lord exposes it, don't call them reverend after that. Now, I don't know who false prophets are. I'm not pointing anybody out because I don't even want to know anybody like that. But they are there because the word says that they're there. But just like a good church, you have to find a good church like you have to find a good spouse. A man has to find a good one. You don't go marry the first, you know, any old woman, even if she's beautiful. That doesn't mean she'll love you, and that doesn't mean she would do right. But he that finds a wife, and that word wife means somebody that loves you like you love them, somebody that has your back, somebody that will pray you through, he finds a good thing. It didn't say he that finds a witch finds a good thing. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. But if you go find you a witch, I feel sorry for you. You didn't find a good thing. And you'll be better off alone. So it is with churches. The Lord is not trying to hide the fact that the church is infiltrated. But the real church will serve God no matter what happens. They love God and they know him. They know him properly. They know him scripturally. That's what I'm trying to say. We got to know God scripturally. And it's time now that we do. And see, and then something worse is coming. The Antichrist is coming. That's worse than all these false prophets and false preachers and false reverends. The Lord loves people who love what's right. And here's the test. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Lord. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know I love you with all my heart. Feed my sheep. The people that can't always pay you. They can't always brag on you. They need you. Be there for them. People that want to know God, help them know him. Yeah, but I got all these bills. I got to do something. Believe God and feed his sheep. You take care of his business, he'll take care of your business, preacher. Don't sacrifice your love for God for no ministry. Your relationship with God is worth more to you than your ministry. Ministry will be ministry. People will do what they're going to do. Feed God's sheep. But enjoy your relationship with the Lord. Don't let the work of the ministry become the most important thing in your life. Your relationship with the Lord is more important. And with his help, your ministry is going to be a cakewalk. One reason I enjoy God's presence is I learned a long time ago that you can take God and his word. He's not going to change. He's going to be a blessing. He's going to help you. He's going to help you go forward. He don't change, and he always loves you. And that's good news. So that means that I don't have to pressure myself to do his will. Now, I don't stop doing his will, but I don't receive the pressure that the enemy tried to impose on me and the things he would do to aggravate me because I'm going to do God's work. I enjoy God's work because I enjoy him. Like I say many times, if you can look unto Jesus, if you can look at him, if you can keep focused on him, you can do what you have to do. If you can stay focused on it, you can do what you have to do. He'll give you the wisdom for it, and it'll be so easy that you'll be so thrilled to do his work. If you can focus on him, that makes it easy. The Lord will give you what you need to do what you got to do. He'll help you understand. He'll give you wisdom, and that'll make it all easy. A fresh word will enthuse you like nothing else that I know of. Sometimes I said, Lord, how am I going to solve this problem? And I'm And I just cannot figure it out. I try to figure it out. I want to figure it out. I pray to figure it out. And I don't figure it out. And then I rest. I say, well, I don't know what to do now. And I say, Lord, show me what to do. And then I just kind of relax. I rest in Him. I enjoy the peace of the fellowship with God. I enjoy peace. And usually when I'm in a state of peace, enjoying His presence, praising Him, or just thinking on something that He said, the thought I need will come. And it'll be so simple, I don't know why I didn't figure it out. It'll be so easy to receive. I start laughing. I said, Lord, You're all right with me. And then I go and give somebody a fresh word, and they rejoice. The wisdom of God. That's how I want people to know God. That's how I know Him. God ain't mean to me. And He's not mean to anybody. But and then I see people on the verge of breakdown. And I say, I wish they could just go in God's presence like I'd be doing. And so when things are on the up and up, I try to tell people about these things. And some people are more receptive.